Welcome back to syndicatednews.net. Today we're talking to
Patrick Perger, Deltona, Florida.
And where are you originally from, Pat?
Originally, I'm from Pennsylvania, but I spent most of my adult life in metropolitan New York area, Westchester County and Putnam County, New York.
And how many years were you a police officer in Westchester County?
I spent 20 years. I retired from the Westchester County Department of Public Safety on November 2nd, 1987.
And once you divorced, what did you find out about the system?
The system does not work, has not worked, and will not work. It'll never work. There's a saying, I don't know who said it first, but I use it quite often. Divorce doesn't break up families, courts do. And it's true.
And you said you were given visitation on Sundays from 10 to 2?
Yeah, the divorce decree, first of all, I'm back up a little, and the psychologist who did the psychological evaluations on myself, my ex-wife, and my child stated that I should receive very liberal visitation rights with my child. He's my only child, and he stated in his report that I was not a threat to myself, I was not a threat to others, and I definitely wasn't a threat to myself. So this being the case, the judge was very liberal. Yeah, he gave me 4 hours on Sundays from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, which she adhered to that for about maybe 6 months or so. As a matter of fact, my child, now he's a grown man, he's 26 years of age, he turned 26 last week,
mm-hmm.
And last time we had quality time together was on January 6th of 1996. It'll be 15 years this coming January since we had quality time together. And, I've been totally alienated from my only child, and it's a hard pill to swallow, so to speak.
Has your relationship with your child ever corrected itself?
Oh, never, never. As a matter of fact, every time I think it's going to get better, I take one step forward, two steps back. He totally alienated from me. Back up a few steps, I remember when, after the divorce, my ex took out, this is what I mean about the abuse of the system. My ex took out a order of protection against me for my child, stating that she felt that I was a threat to my child. She had even went to the extent of having the state police go down to the school and take him out of the school. He was in about the fourth or fifth grade when she took him out of school because she feared for his life, which was, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And she wouldn't adhere to visitation rights. So once she got the order of protection, I wasn't able to see my child. We lived in the same town, and I couldn't see him for a whole year. And after that, I went totally broke, and I was kicked into the streets on New Year's Eve, going from 1996 into New Year's of 1997. I was kicked out of my house, which she had taken my child and left 18 months prior to that. Judge, I had my congresswoman at the time, Sue Kelly, up there, wrote a letter to the judge requesting that I be permitted to stay there for a couple of weeks longer because I found a house available for me in Florida, and the judge up there refused to permit me to stay there for 2 more weeks. He said, it's New Year's coming in, you better be going out, or else you'll surrender yourself to the Putnam County Sheriff's Department, and getting 90 days in the county jail. I didn't receive a dime for my house. It was a sad state of affairs, and when my child was in school, I had to hire an attorney to write a letter because my ex told the school assistant superintendent, do not give me any of my child's school records. Do not permit me to purchase his school pictures. This is totally uncalled for. I went as far as contacted the Department of Education in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
And they sent me a copy. I had requested a copy of the FERPA Act of 1974, which outlines the rights of a non-custodial parent, and it's quite clear in there what is incumbent upon the school and the courts as far as withholding information from the non-custodial parent. And I wrote a letter to the school superintendent, and I had to threaten them with a lawsuit because the assistant principal was very arrogant and disrespectful towards me, wouldn't give me anything. And once they got the letter, then they started cooperating, and I was able to purchase my child's school pictures and get his report cards, school calendar, and things of that. I was never invited to his high school graduation, but I went anyway because I wouldn't miss out on my only child's high school graduation. And she, it was quite apparent that she had him indoctrinated. He was very cold towards me, and she wouldn't let us alone together, him and I. I was at the point where I was ready. I didn't know what to do. I was ready to just drive off into, if my current wife wasn't with me at that time, I think I would have driven my car into the reservoir. I was that distraught over the way I was treated by my only child. And then he went off to college, and I didn't hear from him. He had a total breakdown then as far as communications go, because I had no way of getting in touch with him. And then I checked with the school when his college graduation came up, and they were very cooperative, his university, and I received passes, and current wife and I, we went to his college graduation to see him, and he was friendlier then, and we tried to reach out to him and have a better relationship, but it only went as far as emails. But I kept in touch with him. I saved copies of all the letters and emails and cards that I sent him. And here's a point that I want to make to show about parent alienation. When I lost everything. I went through bankruptcy. I went broke fighting the system to see my child. And at the time when I got kicked out of my house, I ended up living with an acquaintance on a farm in South Carolina, which wasn't too pleasant. No, in those conditions, but I had nowhere to go. I remember it was for my child's 13th birthday. I was able to scrape enough money together. I got him purchased a birthday card, and I put a $50 bill into it and sent it to him, wishing him a happy birthday. And his mother made him send it back, and I was hurt by that. And I wrote a letter to him stating, I said, son, I know this isn't your idea. Whenever you want the money, it'll be here for you. And I said, you just let me know. And I sent the letter to him, and she wrote back to me, you're right, it wasn't his idea, it was my idea. So therefore, I don't even think that he ever saw that card or that money. And I don't think that he received a lot of the emails that I sent to him. And thank God I saved everything on my computer, all the emails, and I have a box full of cards and letters that I sent to him that I'm sure that he didn't receive, if any, very few of them. And I never lost contact with him. I didn't hear from him, but I continued to write. And that's why I'm suspect of the fact that he ever received my correspondence to him. And we were communicating by telephone for a while his mother was working, and he'd get out of school when he was in high school. We would talk via telephone, and then she found out about that, and she put a stop to that real quick. I received a call from him on February 16th of 2009, and he stated, I was shocked, I didn't even know who it was, and He said, I know I've never listened to your side of it. I listened to my mother. I never listened to your side of it, and I want to put this behind me now.
How interesting.
He said, my girlfriend told me that I should call you. And I said, well, son, I said, you're my only child, and I love you. And I could never hold anything against you. I said, you mean the world to me. And we talked for about 3 hours. And unbeknownst to me at the time, his girlfriend was there at the time. And so I asked him, I said, can I call you in the future? He said, sure. And I was so elated. I thought this was the beginning of a relationship again between me and my only child. And in June of 2009, I received a email from him. As a matter of fact, I pulled it up on my computer, and I can...
And it's very likely that his mother guides him. And when he goes ahead and he makes friends with you, she makes it so absolutely impossible that it's literally impossible for him to...
She knew what she was doing. She's a very intelligent woman. She totally alienated him from me, my family, and my friends. My family has not seen my child or talked to my child since August of 1994. Several of my family members have passed on, and they never got to see him or talk to him, including his godfather and my brother and a few others. And so she knew what she was doing. You know, by alienating him. You know, let's see if I can find this.
Did you find it?
Yes, I just found it now.
Excellent.
He sent me an email. It was on July 20th of 2009, and he said, "Hey, Dad, you know, we talked about a few little things," and then he said, "On a more somber note, I need to take a break from communicating with you. I have a lot going on in my life, and particularly my head right now, and the tenuous relationship we've been having is contributing to anxiety and stress that is too much for me."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "On a more somber note, I need to take a break from communicating with you. I have a lot going on in my life, and particularly right now, the tenuous relationship we've been having is contributing to anxiety and stress that is too much for me." And he said, "I still wish you the best." And I couldn't believe what he, you know, I don't know what made him break off communication. The only thing I figured is the fact that his mother must have found out.
Absolutely.
And she just put a
kibosh.
Kibosh to it.
Absolutely.
And I wrote a letter back to him, an email. It's very touching, but it's personal, so I don't really want to go into it.
Of course not. That's private between you two. But what we want to know about is, what would you have done differently now that all these years have passed? What would you have done differently? What I've been asking parents is, would you have stayed married to someone in spite of how you and she were not getting along, just
Absolutely.
To keep him if you knew that this was down the road?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because an environment like that is not good for anyone. She is the one that requested a divorce, and I said, "Well, if that's what you want, I'm not going to fight you for it." I was working. I was working 3 jobs. She was a stay-at-home mom. But to stay together like that, no, the best thing was that we separated. But it's the same thing, the fact that my current wife is not only my wife, but my best friend. We do everything together, and she's...
What a lovely thing to say. What a lovely thing. Alienated children have to keep that position for the alienated parent, or they make their own lives miserable. It's been found through studies that these parents demand of the children absolute loyalty and make the child think that all hell's going to break loose if the relationship is renewed in any way. And the kids, in order to keep the peace, tend to leave things as they are, try to keep things normalized as much as they can. I wanted to ask you, did you see the picketers at the courthouse?
Oh, absolutely. I was...
What did you think of that? Give me your first impression when you saw that.
Well, first of all, I wondered what was going on. I was in a hurry, so I had to go into the courthouse to take care of some business in there briefly. So on my way out, I made it my business to go over and to find out what was going on. So I stopped a couple of the picketers and asked them what was going on, and they explained to me what was going on with the gentleman in family court and being alienated from his children and
something you're very familiar with.
Oh, yes. So I started marching with them.
You're kidding.
No.
Absolutely.
We didn't know that. When did this happen?
Oh, gosh. What day was that? I'd have to look back in my diary now. I'm not sure what day it was they were up there picking.
Congratulations. Good for you.
That's when I gave them my name and the person that they were picketing for. I start telling them about my plight, and they said, wow, you didn't stand a chance in the world. And once I went through this, I entered myself into therapy, and that was a godsend for me. That helped me tremendously dealing with all of this.
Were you the famous father that said, I love this country, but my country doesn't love me?
Yes, I am.
You are, aren't you? Because I understand you were in the military.
Yeah, I'm a Marine Corps combat veteran.
Then you're a Marine.
Yes.
There is no such thing as an ex-Marine.
No. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
And you love this country, don't you?
I love the country. I don't love my government. I won't fly the American flag anymore, but I fly my Marine Corps flag.
Aww.
My Marine Corps flag, I fly it religiously. I love the military. I love my country, but I hate my government. I don't trust the government. I don't trust politicians, no matter what party they are. I do not trust the court system. Absolutely no way, shape, or form. It's totally absurd, and thank God both times, two different judges, they saw right through it, and they said, this is ridiculous. This man should have never been brought in here. But the thing about it was, it cost me $1,500 to hire an attorney to go to court. That's not right. And he had represented me, and the judge permitted him to represent her. I said, this is a conflict of interest. He said, well, I'll decide if it's a conflict of interest or not. You know, and on top of that, he rubbed salt into the wounds. He made me pay him for her fees, which he didn't even charge his sister, but that's neither here nor there. I said, something's really wrong with this picture. And I remember speaking when I was in New York. I spoke to a gentleman who was running for, he was running for U.S. Congress from up in my district. And he was a Vietnam veteran, a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, and he went through similar things that I went through in the court system. And he told me, he said, Patrick, he said, best thing you can do is let go. He said, you'll never win. He said, this court is so biased.
And also, I should mention, this is not a usual parental alienation case. This, his ex had many judges in her family. Do you want to give us the list?
Well, her late father, who was, to me, I idolized the man. He was great. He had passed away before we divorced. He was a New York State Supreme Court justice, a wonderful man. And her stepmother had a couple of relatives. One was a chief administrative judge in the Supreme Court in the 9th Judicial District. And another one was a federal judge in that district in White Plains, New York. And her cousin, I believe he's still currently a city judge in the city of Yonkers. And her brother and a couple of cousins were practicing attorneys, all in the 9th Judicial District. And they refused me a change of venue. So, like they said, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stand a chance, and and I overcame that because they took everything from me as far as materialistic things go. They broke me, but they never took my dignity, which I wouldn't permit anyone to take my dignity. And through the grace of God, I overcame everything and picked myself up, and I live in a wonderful life. The only thing missing from my life is my only child, and I don't know if that will ever come to fruition as far as us being back together again or not. But the way I look at it, I grew up without a father, so I always said, when I have children, I'm going to be the best father in the world. I don't care what anyone says. I know in my heart that I am one of the best fathers in the world. Always was and always will be. The attorney brought it to the judge's attention that I was paying child support and she wasn't permitting me to see my child. The judge stated, well, I'm not concerned with his problems. That's a real professional and ethical answer, facetiously speaking, of course. And this is what I was dealing with. And I just, like you say, I guess the rat race is over and the rats have won. And it's sad because my child, he was taken from me when he was like 10 years old, so he doesn't really know the trials and tribulations that I've gone through in my life or some of the accomplishments that I've done in my life. At this point, he probably never will, but, you know, be that as it may, life goes on. Another thing I'd like to point out, as far as my trial, we had a 4-day divorce trial. Like they say, 1 in 40 divorces go to trial. Well, I guess I was that one. The attorney who was representing me, or misrepresenting me, if you want to say, he was disbarred. And the psychologist who did the psychological evaluations, he lost his license for perjuring himself and numerous other charges. My pursuit in criminal court to show that they committed a felony by committing perjury, and the district attorney would not honor it. So it's just like the best analogy that I can come up with. It's like a boxer. You know, I'm a boxer, and I was up on the ropes, and I was covering up and bobbing and weaving, and people were punching me from every direction. And that's,
I see that.
It's the best analogy that I can come up with. But everything, that's the way everything went, and I'll never forget getting kicked out of my house on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, I never trust the system again. Never trust our judicial system whatsoever. Never trust politicians. Parent alienation syndrome is so pervasive in this country, and the courts do not care about it. They do not care about it. I believe it was former Supreme Court Judge Abe Fortas said that the biggest money-making venue in this country is family court.
Who said that?
The former Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas.
Wow.
It's a truth. It's a truth. You know, it's sad because there's domestic violence in this country is something that needs to be dealt with, but when you find some of these women using it as a tool to benefit them when it's not even factual, and then you have poor women who are victims of domestic violence, and the courts are so backlogged because of the abuse that takes part with this. And that's the bad thing. And you have so many single mothers out there who are good mothers, who stress to their children that they should see their father. Every child has a right to two parents, good Lord willing. And for one parent to alienate that child from their other parent, there's something seriously wrong with that. And if the courts can't recognize that, they don't need to be in existence. It's sad. It's really sad.
Well, Brazil is the first country in the world, as a result of the Goldberg case, in which a mother took off to Brazil with her toddler, divorced the father through the mail, and then married a well-connected local Brazilian Sao Paulo attorney. She later died in childbirth when she was having her second child, and then the new stepfather continued the fight to keep the boy in Brazil. That fight became so big and so serious that the two countries didn't see eye to eye on it and finally had to come to terms. And when the United... Yeah, you are with that. You are familiar with that case, aren't you?
Yes, I followed it religiously. That, along with the Elian Gonzalez case.
When the United States said to Brazil, when a senator and a congressman said, let's stop the money, all of a sudden Brazil got real cooperative. And the next thing you know, it's a federal law now. One parent, in fact, anyone, any person in Brazil, it's a federal crime to badmouth, to denigrate, to malign the parent that's not present to defend his or her position. And that's the first country in the world that has made parental alienation a federal crime. I was so proud of Brazil.
Yes.
And I know in our lifetime it's going to happen again and again.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the case up in New York where the mother bad-mouthing the father to the child, and she was sentenced to jail time for that.
Yes, I followed that for every other weekend, but she hasn't had to show up to jail, not even once.
Well, here again, that's what I was talking about. Here's a prime example of how the judicial system does not work. You know, what's the sense of sentencing someone and then they don't have to do the time? You know, I'll tell you this much, I bet you if it was turned around the other way, the father would be in jail.
Oh, I am absolutely sure of it. I agree.
I'm not misogynistic in any sense of the imagination. However, you know, you have two sets of standards here. Also, when you go into these family courts, one for the men and one for the women, and it's not right. First of all, I don't blame it on the women. Women go in there, and they're going to get whatever they can get. I blame it on the judges who go in there, and they acquiesce to the demands of the woman and her attorney. And the man, he's nothing. I have a whole plethora of information that I could present to you showing how the system does not work and things that have happened to me in the 9th Judicial District up in New York. And you would be amazed. It's mind-boggling. Because if I tell people, a lot of them say, this it's not true. He has to be lying. But I'll show you black on white. I even have transcripts of some of the hearings that I had. I purchased the transcripts just so I'd have them. And, well,
I've read some of these family court transcripts. I can't believe that that's going on in this country. It's quite difficult to accept that's going on here.
Look how they're making men pay child support on children that's not even theirs. And a judge said, well, someone has to pay it.
I understand. I do. I really do.
It's frustrating. Well, like I say, the only thing missing out of my life is my child and my relationship with my child, and not coming from not having a father growing up. I know what it's like. And now, for instance, can you imagine if I would have bad-mouthed my ex to my child the way she bad-mouthed me to my child? He would have caught it from both ends. He would be totally messed up in the head. Like King Solomon in the Bible, when two women went before King Solomon, said, this is my child. And the other one said, no, this is my child. And King Solomon said, no, I'll cut the child in half. You both have half. And a real mother said, no, let her have him. That's the way I felt with my child. Rather than me bad-mouthing his mother to him and screwing him up in the head that much more, let her do it. I can take it.
Good for you. You're a good dad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we want to thank you for your time. And we hope you follow syndicatednews.net. The show is called Family Matters. It's usually hosted by the Parental Alienation Awareness Organization President, Jill Ejizi. She's the Honorable Jill Ejizi because she's also an older woman in Chicago, Illinois. And the Honorable Family Court Judge from Cook County, Michelle LaRance. She's the co-host of the Family Matters show. They're not here today, but we are collecting the sentiments and the statements from mothers and fathers who have been alienated from their children and giving them an opportunity to air their side of the story. And would you give us just two or three sentences that you would tell your son right now, if you were going to give him a greeting?
Son, I love you more today than I did the day you were born, if that's possible. I'll always love you. I'll always be here for you as long as the good Lord is willing. It's so sad that you had to come to this, and you don't really know your father as you should. You should not have been deprived of a father. And never too late. I just wish the best for you and pray for you. I love you. Love you. Love you. God bless you.
Well, with that, we wrap it up. Ay, ay, ay. Thank you. This is a very moving interview. unless you're actually inhuman, you can't help but have these stories touch you.
Yeah. You're right. You're right about that. So.
Thank you for joining us on syndicatednews.net.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.